Welcome to Farmed and Dangerous, a long-term memory radio series on the pharmaceutical industry in Canada. In this hour, we speak with longtime health freedom activist Croft Woodruff. But first, a question. Have you ever heard of the Codex Alimentarius Commission? We don't see much in the mainstream media about Codex, but we do see herbal remedies such as kava kava, melatonin, and amino acids being banned for sale in Canada. The Codex Commission is mandated by the World Health Organization and the UN Food and Agricultural Organization to set standards of operation for the health industry worldwide. Canada's participation in Codex is coordinated through Health Canada and other regulatory agencies. But Health Canada and Industry Canada are arguably in the pockets of the giant drug multinationals. How do we know? Because the Canadian government extended drug patents to 20 years, relaxed regulations governing the release of new drugs to the market, and legislated the privatization of research. Since 1996, the Codex Commission has been discussing the creation of new global trade rules governing health supplements and herbal remedies. According to the Health Sciences Institute, 90% of the international organizations sending delegates to the Codex Commission represent giant multinational drug corporations. In March 2002, the Codex Commission passed a directive forbidding the use of natural dietary supplements for the prevention of disease. So imagine dropping by your favorite health food store one day to find it gone. Or you might head over to the drugstore to get some vitamin C. But if you want more than 60 milligrams, you'll have to find a doctor to prescribe it. The Codex Commission wants no dietary supplements sold for therapeutic use, and all dietary supplements of higher potency to be sold as prescription drugs. The pharmaceutical industry wants to eliminate competition from natural products for treating illness. Then, people will be forced to turn to doctors who will prescribe mainstream high-risk prescription drugs or super-strength prescription-only vitamins supplied by, guess who? The pharmaceutical industry. Our guest, Croft Woodruff, is past president of the Canadian Health Food Association. He is an expert on the benefits of dietary supplements and for many years has dedicated his energies to what he calls health freedom. Today, he'll talk about recent developments in the drug cartel's efforts to gain control of world markets for natural remedies and vitamin supplements through Codex Alimentarius. Croft Woodruff speaks to us from his office in Vancouver.
The Codex Alimentarius Commission met in Berlin in November of 2002, and essentially their goal is to ban the sale of vitamins in the interest of the pharmaceutical cartel. Is that correct?
That's correct.
According to the Matthias Rath website, pharmaceutical multinationals have failed to bring about a global ban on natural medicinal therapies.
Either that or severe restrictions.
Is it still a threat or is it not?
Oh, it'll always be a threat because the pharmaceutical industry feels threatened. They've had some real major setbacks, such as hormone replacement therapy has turned out to be a serious health problem for women. It causes breast cancer and strokes, blood clots, and thrombosis. And of course, it boils down to this, that Premarin, the horse hormone, is for horses, not for women. That's the bottom line. There's other factors in the Premarin that is causing all these problems.
Are you saying that other campaigns by the pharmaceutical industry are failing?
What I'm saying is that they have failed in terms of the promise that drugs were going to cure illnesses and bring relief from suffering. It just hasn't worked. This is the major cause of the failure of the healthcare system in Canada and anywhere else for that matter, where you have the health bureaucracy relying on the pharmaceutical industry in terms of direction. And then you have Parliament that has pretty well given the pharmaceutical industry a license to print money through extended royalties and increased royalties in terms of patent protection. An interesting thing happened way back. It was in Chile. Salvador Allende was a democratically elected president, albeit a Marxist. But nevertheless, he was elected to that position, and prior to his overthrow, he had commissioned several Chilean doctors to look at the pharmaceuticals that were being used in medicine, and their conclusion was that of all the pharmaceuticals out there, that they could reduce the number to 12, and they could work just as well with 12 as opposed to everything else that was out there in terms of these patented and prescription drugs. And what happens when a patent runs out? They manipulate the molecular structure and come out with a new patent, and sometimes the new drug is worse than the old one in terms of what it can do. In the last 10 years, so we've had how many drugs removed from the market because it was causing death, and not just a few deaths, but in many cases, hundreds of deaths. Then you have to ask Health Canada why they would ban, say, Cava-Cava, a herb that's been used for thousands of years without any reported problems, report that they're withdrawing Cava-Cava from the market or ordering it off the market because of four cases of liver failure. And yet we have thousands of people who have liver failure from acetaminophen, and it's still on the market. So who is Health Canada really protecting? And, of course, this is the same thing. The pharmaceutical industry worldwide has been telling the bureaucrats at Codex that we've got to control the vitamins, you've got to cut them down to very small amounts because they could be dangerous. Well, where are the bodies? Where we see the bodies is the fact that the third leading cause of death in North America in terms of disease, actually after heart disease and cancer, is iatrogenic-caused disease by doctors, their pharmaceuticals, and the hospitals.
The third is caused by doctors.
The third leading cause of death in North America can be attributed to the doctors, the pharmaceuticals, and the hospitals. Several years ago, the Ontario Provincial Health Ministry reported that one-third of all hospital admissions were due to adverse drug reactions.
If we could just focus in on Codex Alimentarius, how does it fit into this worldview of the pharmaceutical cartel?
Well, you see, if they can whip all the countries into line, they consider they'll have an even playing field and they will have no competition from people who prefer to take personal responsibility for their health and would rather rely on food supplements to fortify their diet. The fact is that there is no drug on the face of the earth that will cure a deficiency disease, but we know that vitamins and mineral supplements will do just that. That is the difference.
So what is their intention in terms of dietary supplements, well, vitamins, herbs, herbal remedies?
Well, it means that they can put out a product, say like Centrum, and export it to, say, a third world country or another industrial nation, and complain about unfair competition because they're allowing some company to manufacture a more potent formula than what Centrum is, and they can go then to the World Trade Organization and complain, and if the country doesn't bring their vitamin regulations in line with that of the country where the competing pharmaceutical company is located, then the World Trade Organization can bring sanctions. This is all part of the globalization business. Oh, it's very monopolistic. They talk about free enterprise, but they're not interested in practicing it.
They've begun their campaign in Europe. How well have they succeeded in Europe?
Well, it's my understanding that the members of the European Parliament have rejected the European Commission's recommendations with regard to Codex.
So it's not going anywhere.
Well, that's it, because they've had far too many emails and faxes and phone calls from citizens all throughout Europe and elsewhere protesting these recommendations of Codex and the European Union.
Often the European Union has in the past been more enlightened than the North American governments in terms of banning drugs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Canada and the U.S. are going to follow a similar direction?
Well, that would be very interesting if they do, but right now when I see some of the goings on in Health Canada, I mean, we can just witness one simple thing. How many of people have followed the case of Sergeant Kipling, the military man who refused the anthrax vaccine, and for good reason. He was court-martialed and acquitted. But how many people know that the vaccine that the Department of National Defense medical officers wanted to inject him with had expired and contained filth and mold? In fact, the expiry dates had been altered to make the vaccine look like it was current. Now, how is it that Health Canada has not taken action against those medical doctors for clearly breaking the law in terms of the Food and Drug Act?
Could you explain how they broke the law?
By changing, altering expiry dates is illegal. If something is expired and you change it to a current expiry date, that it's good for another couple of years, I mean, that is fraud. That's a criminal offense. Nobody has been brought to justice for that. Of course, it took the RCMP 8 years to bring Health Canada officials and the Red Cross officials to account over the tainted blood scandal because they failed to do due diligence.
This must be the place.
It sounds like our conversation is going in the direction of perhaps less Codex Alimentarius, but rather towards Health Canada.
Well, Health Canada is the one that goes to Codex and has been lobbying to restrict the availability of suitable vitamin potencies by down-dumbing, I guess you could say, the potencies to ridiculous levels that have very little meaning in terms of supplemental effect. They have this so-called upper reference level, which would, if it was implemented, would severely restrict people's access to potencies in vitamin E and the vitamin C and other vitamins. And this just doesn't make any sense at all, because all the research is showing that in the case of vitamins, more is better. We have these planted scare stories by the pharmaceutical industry like vitamin A is toxic, 10,000 international units. Without even explaining, well, what do they mean by vitamin A? Are they talking about the vitamin A that we are familiar with in fish liver oils or in beef liver? Sit down and have a feed of beef liver, say 3.5 ounces of fried beef liver. You can get something like 35,000 to 40,000 international units of vitamin A. If that's toxic, then we've automatically put beef liver on prescription. If we're talking about beta-carotene, one medium-sized carrot will give you 10,000 international units, but that's not vitamin A. That's pro-vitamin A. The body has to convert it into the form of vitamin A that we are familiar with when we take a cod liver oil capsule or a halibut liver oil capsule or, as I say, sit down and have a meal of liver and onions. So this is the kind of nonsense that we get from the media. The latest thing, of course, is regarding thimerosal, the mercury in vaccine. We're told that what's in there is a safe level. They're testing blood levels of children and not looking at the body burden where the mercury is in the tissues of the body, particularly in the nerves and the brain. So this is a sort of fraudulent science that is being perpetrated by people in the health bureaucracy as well as what I call the tame scientific centers of some of our major universities.
So the government of Canada is going along with the pharma cartel.
Well, of course they're going along with the pharma cartel. I mean, who gave them the extended royalties and the patent protection and the increase in royalties, as if they weren't making enough money, and they're still not satisfied. The U.S. is complaining to the World Trade Organization that we're underselling the U.S. pharmaceutical companies with our pricing of vitamins, and of course that's true because American citizens are getting their drug prescriptions filled in Canada now. But this is all part of globalization. And the key thing is that the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want any competition. They want it all their way. And they see the use of vitamins, minerals, and herbs as a distinct threat to their hegemony.
Of course, we understand that the WTO, the World Trade Organization, plays a crucial role in these extensions of patents, for example, but what role does the World Health Organization play?
Well, the World Health Organization is behind it. The majority of members on the health organization, you will find, are coming from the pharmaceutical interests or people who have connections with the pharmaceutical interests. I mean, if you want a good example of just how corrupt it is, the New England Journal of Medicine editorially admitted just recently that they can't find independent doctors to review different drugs, you know, for publication in the journal. Well, I mean, if you can't find an independent doctor to do the job, and it's going to be done by somebody who has connections with the pharmaceutical company that's manufacturing the drug under investigation, you know, that's the fox watching the chickens. And they get paid for it, too. If they had their way, they would have shut the health food stores down, and that would be the end of it. And you would only be able to get minuscule potencies, perhaps in the mass market, and anything else would be available only by prescription.
And what justification do they offer?
Vitamins are too dangerous. People are taking too many vitamins. That's the mantra we heard from a health minister in British Columbia in 1974, that British Columbians were taking too many vitamins. Where did he get that notion from? It had to be from the health bureaucrats in his ministry, who have long shown a distinct antagonism towards the health food industry and the concept of people taking personal responsibility for their health. It goes back to the full circle. The reason why our health care system is in the hole. And of course, you know, as somebody put it, if you're digging a hole and you want to get out of it, stop digging. But they're not stopping to dig. They're just going to make it deeper and deeper and throw more money at it rather than going back to the basics that people have to be educated with regard to diet and lifestyle and nutrition. But the nutrition we're getting information is that from doctors and dietitians, for the most part, is you don't need to take any food supplements if you eat a balanced diet from the four food groups. Talk to an Inuit up on Ellesmere Island, what is a balanced diet from the four food groups, and it's going to be whale meat and seal blubber and so on. But it isn't going to be fruit and vegetables and cereals, is it?
Well, of course, that was their diet for thousands of years.
That's right. But you see, one man's meat is another man's poison, and unfortunately, with regard to nutrition, there is one general rule, and it is this, there are no general rules. Because it all depends on what your ethnic background is and so on.
Now, natural remedies have proved their efficacy for generations.
Thousands of years, in fact. Yeah. And, of course, modern pharmacy is actually based on the practice of herbology. But what the pharmacologist does or pharmacognosist does, they look at the active factor and extract it, like, say, acetylsalicylic acid from willow bark. But the trouble is there are other factors in the willow bark that modify the effect of the ASA that, in fact, prevents the side effects that ASA can be notorious for, such as internal or, you know, intestinal bleeding, vitamin C depletion, and so on.
The strategic aims of this campaign are essentially that health information on natural products will be banned globally.
That's the whole idea. You won't be able to make any product, any therapeutic claims. And, of course, that's been part of our Food and Drug Act in Canada for years, that when in selling a vitamin or a mineral or herbal product, that you cannot make any health claims, which, of course, is absolutely ludicrous and certainly a violation of our Charter of Rights and Freedom, and particularly our right to freedom of speech, particularly when you are telling the truth and you have references to back up what you are saying.
And the sales of vitamins and other products will be prohibited globally.
That's the whole idea. Other than in minuscule potencies that wouldn't keep a grasshopper hopping, and anything stronger than that would require a doctor's prescription. And how many doctors do you know that are proficient in the field of nutrition? We have a situation here in British Columbia where doctors have been drummed out of medical practice because they prescribed magnesium to their patients. And that is a documentable fact.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing more about that. Like particular horror stories having to do with vitamins. You talked about vitamin C.
Yes.
You talked about vitamin A.
Yeah.
And now you're mentioning magnesium.
Yes. Well, you know, we were told by the authorities that magnesium is ubiquitous in the food supply. It is not. It's very susceptible to loss through food processing. And, of course, if you're put on some of these drugs, some of these pharmaceuticals can deplete you heavily of magnesium and other important minerals like zinc. But getting back to magnesium, we talk about calcium for bones, but magnesium is equally important, maybe even more so, for calcium uptake, because, of course, 70% of all the magnesium in your body is stored in your bones.
Countries that don't apply these laws will be subject to international economic sanctions.
That's the whole idea.
Do you think that Canada will go ahead in spite of the example that the European community has just given?
Oh, well, Canada will go along with the European Union. They want access to trade in Europe, and so they have to go along with it. The same thing with the United States. But actually, I think it's going to hinge on the United States because they are the economic powerhouse of the planet as well as the superpower. And I would say that whatever the U.S. Congress and Senate decide is what is going to go.
Well, how can people have a voice where this is concerned? I see that there was an email campaign in Europe that helped to severely limit, in fact, to prevent Codex from being...
kind of campaign has been going on in Canada and the United States. And of course, whether or not our politicians are listening remains to be seen. Some of them have been listening in Washington, D.C., and I think they're starting to listen in Ottawa again. They certainly were listening several years ago in the middle 1990s when everything had come to a head. We have gone through this exercise before at the federal level in the 1960s, at the provincial level at the 1970s, at the federal level again in the 1980s. And every time the health bureaucracies and the pharmaceutical industry are defeated, they switch back and forth. And now, having not succeeded at the federal levels, they are now going at the international level to the World Health Organization and Codex. Now they've been stalemated there. We'll just have to wait and see what their next move will be. But I can assure you there are hundreds of millions of people around this planet who resent having their right to have control over their bodies taken away from them by some faceless bureaucrat.
Now, are you aware of the current status of lawmaking either in the United States or in Canada on this issue?
Well, in the United States, the food supplements are regulated as food. In Canada, they are currently regulated as drug. They're supposed to be under a different category, but as I can see, that this Office of Natural Health Products has been blindsided by the Drug Directorate, and that's how the Drug Directorate got away with banning Cava-Cava. I suspect that St. John's Wort is the next one on their hit list, and possibly coenzyme Q10.
I would imagine that the cost of health care will be affected.
Well, of course, because more people have to rely on pharmaceuticals. and particularly the prescription pharmaceuticals, then what can we expect? Because you've got to go to a doctor to get a prescription. And then, of course, we have to look at the side effects. Look at prednisone, the cortisone-type drugs. They deplete the body of at least 7 B vitamins, plus vitamin K and the mineral zinc, and, of course, they upset the enterobacteria of the body. You can get the same effect with any antibiotic that I could mention.
Isn't that true that antibiotics are famous for cleaning out and completely nulling the intestinal flora?
That's right. And if the doctor doesn't recognize that fact and tell his patient to take an appropriate supplement to replace the friendly bacteria and at a time where they won't be interfered with by the antibiotic, then the patient is just going to be into a greater trouble.
So are we in a kind of holding pattern here in Canada?
I would say maybe so. I know that people are finally waking up to what is going on with this so-called Natural Health Products Directorate, that it isn't going to go anywhere, that the drug people are going to have control. You see, when I was president of the Canadian Health Food Association, I sat in on such things as a good manufacturing practices guide way back in 1980-81. And I can tell you that I met health bureaucrats that, as far as they were concerned, we should all be in jail. That was their attitude.
Who should all be in jail?
Those people in the health food industry. And they forget, of course, that everything that we do in terms of vitamin and mineral and many of the herbals are well backed by scientific studies published in peer-reviewed journals and carried out by scientists of great reputation, either in medicine or in the biology and in pharmacology and pharmacognosy.
Are there any other essential issues around vitamins and supplements that you'd like to mention?
Well, there's this business of the herbals that Margaret Cheney, the Canadian Health Canada representative at Codex, had put forth, I guess it's about 5 or 6 years ago now. And that there is on the back burner, and we're wondering what they're going to come up with in that regard.
Who?
Codex.
I noticed there are two names for Canadian representatives with addresses at Health Canada that are participating in Codex. Do they have any teeth at all, or what is their point of view?
Well, I should think that they're going to pretty well represent what their bosses are telling them to represent. Otherwise, they wouldn't be supporting such moves as to restrict the potency of food supplements.
If people want to get involved in this debate, what do you recommend?
Well, they can contact me at cwhealth.com. So it's Croft, C-R-O-F as in Frank, T as in Thomas, at cwhealth.com. And I will refer them to the appropriate sources so that they can get the information they need to know.
Now, of course, we've been rushing right along here. I'm delighted to have you say anything else you might want to say on the subject. Is there something else we've missed?
Well, I don't know. I think we've covered it quite a bit. And I'd just like to reiterate that we see this Romano report coming out. I mean, I can give you a good example in this regard with regard to our healthcare system and the importance of people taking more responsibility for their health. When the doctor's recommending an operation or drug, people should ask questions. Well, is this really necessary? Are there other options? Or what about this drug? What are the side effects? What should I be taking to mitigate those side effects? And, you know, I can tell you of situations here in Vancouver. For years, we have fought to get chelation therapy recognized so that doctors aren't being harassed and driven out of practice because they use this therapy as an alternative to heart bypass surgery or amputation. And I can tell you of a case right here in Vancouver, at a major regional hospital, where a gentleman went in to have a leg amputated because he's diabetic, it's gangrene, and they took off the wrong leg. He found out about chelation therapy for his heart because the lawyers who protect the doctors in these malpractice suits had his medical records, knew he had a bad heart, offered him a pittance because they knew they could outlive him. But he found out about chelation therapy for the heart. He went and had a series of treatments. And guess what? His leg healed up, the one they were supposed to take off, and didn't. When he went back and showed the healed leg, he had them on two counts. First of all, failing to tell him that he had other options. Secondly, or that he should be looking for other options. And secondly, that he had indeed taken off the wrong leg.
I have no idea what to say in response to that.
Well, I mean, that's only one of many examples we have seen. There was a lady from Alberta before they had chelation therapy available. And this is something else. You know, we talk about the threat of privatization or private clinics for profit. One of the reasons why the last government in British Columbia was against chelation therapy and would do nothing to make the college back off from harassing doctors who were offering the therapy is because they saw it as a move to a private clinic. Well, what can you expect if the government isn't going to recognize it and pay for it on Medicare? The fact is, if you can save a $50,000 operation without complications or a $100,000 operation with complications for an investment of something like $3,500 to $5,500, what option would you take?
Well, not to mention keeping my leg.
That's exactly it. And that's, we're talking about heart bypass in this case, but the amputation probably costs upwards to $50,000 before all is said and done. And then some people have double amputations, and they can be on disability for a long period of time, costing upwards into millions of dollars, perhaps. And, I mean, these governments talk about saving money, and you give them an option, and they won't listen to it because, put it this way, the health bureaucracy has their ear, and so they're listening to the experts. Well, we've been listening to these experts for years and years and years, and it's still the same outcome. We're in the hole. I mean, if you had a mechanic looking after your automobile and you're not getting anywhere, wouldn't you change mechanics? But not these jokers, and all we're getting is a rerun. It's deja vu all over again.
Woke up this morning, put on my slippers. I walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling. And on up into heaven I did ride. When I got there, they did say, John, it happened this way. You slipped upon the floor and hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, that these were the very last words that you said. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. No, I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane. The blind can have my eyes and the deaf can take. Oh, the my ears if they don't mind the size. My stomach to Milwaukee if they run out of beer. I put my socks in a cedar box just to get them out of here. A Venus de Milo can have my arms. Look out, I got your nose. Sell my heart to the junk man and give my love to Rose. But please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane. The blind could have my eyes and the deaf could take both of my ears if they don't mind the size. Oh man. I give my feet to the footloose, careless, fancy free, and give my knees to the needy. Don't pull that stuff on me. Hand me down my walking cane. It's a sin to tell a lie. Send my mouth way down south and kiss my ass goodbye. But please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane. The blind could have my eyes and the deaf could take both of my ears if they don't mind the sight. That's right.
You mentioned chelation therapy. Is that spelled C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N?
C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. It's a way of treating people for heavy metal poisoning. During the Second World War and later, they were looking for safer drugs to do the job. And one of the safest ones they found was ethylene diamine tetracetic acid. This is a compound that the body has no affinity for. It's essentially no more toxic than sugar, but it has a strong affinity for minerals that have been lodged in the tissues of the body, and it will latch onto them and pull them out, and it's out of the system. 98% is out of the system within 48 hours. And, of course, the doctors who were treating industrial workers for heavy metal poisoning noticed that some of these workers were suffering from heart disease and bad circulation to the legs and the complications of diabetes, and these symptoms were, for the most part, clearing up and disappearing. And these doctors, being good professionals, having a scientific mind, realized that there was something going on here because all they were doing is treating these people for heavy metal poisoning. Why not try some patients who have these symptoms, but for all intents and purposes, do not have heavy metal problems? They did that, and they got the same results. And then that started a whole new branch of science, medical science. And right now in North America, there's probably about 1,200 physicians in Canada and the United States that are doing chelation therapy. We have over 55 doctors in Canada, in British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Ontario, and Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, that are offering this therapy.
This therapy that you're describing, would you define it as a supplement?
No, it is good medical practice. It's an IV, the infusate of EDTA. It's in 500 milliliters of sterile water, along with 5 B vitamins, vitamin C, and magnesium.
But this therapy itself, does it fall under the category of, say, vitamins or supplements?
It does, because it has the vitamins in it. Yeah, there was a study done in Calgary just recently and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association saying that it wasn't any good. But the trouble is that the people they selected had minimal symptoms of cardiovascular problems, and the placebo wasn't a placebo, so the study was really fraudulently done.
Do you have any other examples of vitamins and supplements used as therapies that are more effective than pharmaceutical drugs?
Well, we should be talking to Dr. Abram Hoffer, orthomolecular physician. He's not only a medical doctor, but he's a PhD in biochemistry. And the legend is that he cleaned out the mental hospitals in Saskatchewan using niacinamide, other B vitamins, and vitamin C. And he's still in practice in Victoria, British Columbia, and he's in his middle 80s. Practicing what he preaches in terms of nutrition. We have the work of the Shute brothers, Evan and Wilfred Shute, two medical doctors in the clinic in London, Ontario, who established the value of vitamin E in dealing with cardiovascular disease and treating burns and also diabetic neuropathy.
How about B vitamins used in, generally speaking, for mental health?
Well, B vitamins are the foundation of good health in any case. They are involved in so many functions. For instance, in terms of mental health, we know that thiamine is very important, niacin, niacinamide, vitamin B6. These can be very useful in terms of depression, but they should always be taken in a complex when you are taking extra of the individual ones that I mentioned.
Now, people can make mistakes taking vitamins.
Yes, they can. And, of course, they should be talking to a health professional that is knowledgeable in these areas. And there are medical doctors who are. Dr. Zoltan Rona, based in Toronto, perfectly a good example of a doctor who practices nutrition and uses supplements in his medical practice for his patients.
Of course, he's way in the minority, isn't he?
Well, there's another doctor, Joseph Kropp of Mississauga, and of course, he's been the victim of about 15 years of persecution on the part of the College of Physicians and Surgeons. There was a doctor in Ontario who was proficient in managing pain, and they drove him out of Ontario in spite of the fact that he was given high praise by his peers in Ontario as well as in the United States, and now we've lost him to the United States. And I mean, this is the sort of thing that we have to put up with in this country, are these licensing boards that wish to maintain the status quo in favor of the pharmaceuticals. They'd rather give you an antidepressant like Prozac or Zoloft, and of course antipsychotic drugs like haloperidol, rather than say, well, let's look at this person's biochemical balances and see what they are deficient in and correct those deficiencies. Well, they don't do that because it doesn't put any money on the table for the pharmaceutical interests. And healthy people are not profitable people for the pharmaceutical industry.
course, cold season is upon us, and people are marching over to the drugstore to get vitamin C and echinacea for some years now.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have to find some other way from now?
Well, not for a while yet. They'll still be able to access these things as they are found in health food stores and elsewhere. But one thing they'll be cajoled by the federal government, Health Canada, and, of course, the provincial governments, is to get your flu shot. Well, what's in that flu shot? Mercury. Mercury is a neurological poison. Dr. Hugh H. Fudenberg, who is an immunogeneticist, he's published over 840 papers in peer-reviewed journals, and he's among the 10th most quoted scientists of our time. He says that if you've had 5 consecutive flu shots, as opposed to 1, 2, or no flu shots at all, you have a tenfold chance of developing Alzheimer's disease. When he was questioned as to why that was so, he said it's because of the mercury and in the aluminum that is in these vaccines and most of the childhood vaccines. There was a big move in the United States to take thimerosal out of the vaccines. It hasn't happened, and it's not happening in Canada because Health Canada says it's perfectly safe, yet a child can get, from the time of infancy to grade school, can get about 20 vaccines and end up with about a total of 285 doses of mercury, which lodges in the soft tissues of the body. The blood tests are absolutely irrelevant. They don't mean a thing. That was the fallacy of lead poisoning. And they were looking at the blood, and they said, oh, 35 micrograms is acceptable. And then the Centers for Disease Control in the United States said, no, it's more like 20 micrograms is an acceptable level. Now they're saying that 10 micrograms of lead per deciliter of blood is treatable. And they have seen neurological damage in children where the blood levels of lead were at 7 micrograms per deciliter of blood. And, of course, the same thing applies to mercury, which is probably the most toxic heavy metal outside of plutonium and uranium in the world today.
Mr. Woodruff, would you like to repeat the name of the doctor who's done this research?
Dr. Hugh Fudenberg, F-U-D.
F-U-D.
E-N.
E-N as in Nancy.
That's right. B-E-R-G. He's a medical doctor, Ph.D., and he does have a website. You'll have to search it by looking through Fudenberg.
I'll be glad to do that. Now, there's a group called Citizens Voice for Health Rights. Are you still active in that group?
I do work with them and also through the Health Action Network, which is based here in British Columbia.
Do you recommend them as a source?
Absolutely. If people are interested in consumer health activism, they should get involved, because if people think that the government is there to protect our health, they got another think coming, because they're not there at all. They are there to protect industry, and the consumer's needs are second. That's why everything has been cut back in terms of health protection and monitoring. If the industry is going to monitor itself, give me a break. You don't let the fox watch the chickens. You know what's going to happen.
And, of course, supplements are being given to the animals that we're eating.
They're giving them as antibiotics, of course. But we also know that in veterinary science, animals are considered more valuable than humans, because that's one reason why they do fortified animal feed. In any case, when it comes down to health protection, why has Ottawa cut back and no lab tests? Why are they not putting up a registry for breast implants to track what's happening with the women that have accepted this very fallacious treatment? Why aren't they looking at mercury? They say eating fish, mercury in fish is dangerous, but they're not looking at mercury in vaccines. And then on the other hand, we have some tame scientists who recently came out and said that the mercury in fish is okay, and then the same thing with the vaccines. Who paid them to do that study? And, of course, the U.S. Congress, at the behest of the pharmaceutical industry, put big money into the last election, have just undercut thousands of families in their lawsuits against Eli Lilly over suppressing the fact that mercury, they've known since 1920s, in the vaccine would cause neurological problems in some people.
If I wanted to mount a campaign against the flu vaccine, what would you recommend that I do?
I would just quote Dr. Hugh Fudenberg. It says it all right there. And then, of course, ask, why are we seeing an epidemic of autism in children? Everything points to mercury and vaccine, as well as some other problems with vaccines. And I didn't even mention the formaldehyde, which is virtually in all vaccines and is a known carcinogen.
Are there any other campaigns or issues that you'd like to mention?
No, I think we've pretty well covered the gamut as far as health is concerned.
I think you've pretty well done it. I'm floored. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I'd probably come off as a raving maniac. But,
no, not at all.
I look at it this way. You know, if you can't come up with facts to support your argument, and you have to resort to labels and character assassination, all I can say is that that sort of tactic is the hallmark or currency of a bankrupt argument.
Grateful to you, Mr. Woodruff, for giving
us your
time.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you very much for having me and letting me give you some of my insights as to what is really going on. And, you know, this business of shooting up people that we employ to protect our country, and we send overseas on peacekeeping missions, and we shoot them up with a vaccine that has expired and is contaminated and never had official approval for being used. I mean, that is a crime, and why are our politicians so asleep and not raising hell about it in Parliament instead of worrying about some press agent for the Prime Minister referring to the U.S. President as a moron? I think there are far more important issues before Parliament than that sort of issue, and for that I think the opposition is way off base, and they're not doing their job.
So maybe the best thing for people to do if they're...
They should be asking their parliamentarian, why aren't you raising the issue? Why aren't those doctors who authorized the use of an expired vaccine that was contaminated with filth to be used on our service personnel, why have they not been prosecuted? You're going now, the RCMP are going after the Red Cross, and they're going after some Health Canada officials over the tainted blood fiasco. They should be doing the same thing in this instance. It's a more recent incident. They've clearly broken their own food and drug laws, and yet nothing is done about it.
It's a privilege to have spoken with you, Mr. Woodruff.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Croft Woodruff of Citizens' Voice for Health Rights, past president of the Canadian Health Food Association, and radio broadcaster in Vancouver. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Citizens' Voice for Health Rights is an advocacy group for the rights of users of herbal and other non-traditional medicine. Their website is at www.citizensvoice.org. That's www.citizensvoice.org. The Health Action Network Society is a non-profit consumer organization gathering and providing information on all methods of preventative health. Their website is at www.hans.org. That's www.hans.org.
Health advocate Croft Woodruff spoke to us from his office in Vancouver.
Listeners can contact Croft Woodruff at the following email address, Croft, C-R-O-F-T, at cwhealth.com. That's Croft at cwhealth.com. For more information on Codex Alimentarius, try Dr. Matthias Rath's website at www.vitaminsforall.org. That's www.vitamins-for-all.org. Saul Kent has written a provocative article on the link between the so-called Health Protection Branch of Health Canada and the Codex Alimentarius Commission. On your favorite search engine, type in HPB, for a Health Protection Branch, dash Codex Connection. That's HPB, dash Codex Connection. Codex, C-O-D-E-X. To make your voice heard on the availability of natural remedies and supplements in Canada, contact your Member of Parliament. You can find out who that is by calling 1-800-667-3355. 1-800-667-3355. And you can write a letter, postage-free, to any MP at this address, House of Commons, Parliament Buildings, Ottawa, Ontario, K1A0A6. House of Commons, Parliament Buildings, Ottawa, Ontario, K1A0A6. To contact the current Minister of Health at Health Canada, the phone number is 1-866-868-0550. The current Minister of Health at Health Canada, 1-866-868-0550. Mailing address for the Minister of Health, Minister of Health, Ottawa, Ontario, K1A0K9. Minister of Health, Ottawa, Ontario, K1A0K9. And if you're interested in the issues surrounding vaccines, the International Vaccination Newsletter suggests that the most intriguing deception of the public in relation to vaccines is the suggestion that the person who gets an influenza vaccination will not get the flu. To know more about possible health risks related to vaccines, and to know why the flu vaccine won the Most Useless Vaccine of All Time award, go to your search engine and type in flu vaccination quotes. On your favorite search engine, that's flu vaccination quotes. Dr. Hugh Fudenberg's research looks into the links between vaccines and autism, asthma, Alzheimer's disease, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Go to www.vaccinationnews.com. That's www.vaccinationnews.com. This is the last segment in the Farmed and Dangerous series. Our sincere thanks to all our contributors.
Farmed and Dangerous is produced by the Community News Collective at CKUT Radio McGill as part of its award-winning Long-Term Memory Radio series. Our thanks to all of those who make educational and inspirational radio here at CKUT possible. Stay tuned for Long-Term Memory Radio each and every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on Real Audio on the World Wide Web at www.ckut.ca. This 10-part Farmed and Dangerous series is available in a set of CDs from Radio McGill. For more information, please give us a call at area code 514-398-6788 or visit our website at www.ckut.ca and click on Community News. This is Long-Term Memory Radio.
Well, I don't know if you read about this, but the law of gravity expires soon. And Congress is working overtime on new gravity legislation. Anyway, here's a song about a lot of other stories in today's newspaper that you may not have read about.
The Earth fell out of its orbit and careened into the sun. They awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor to Timothy Leary. Someone proved conclusively the single bullet theory was wrong. Uncle Sam made reparations for repressions great and small by creating a society with liberty and dignity and equal opportunity and justice for all. Every commuter in greater Los Angeles learned how to ride the bus.
And the rich folks said, please tax the shit out of us. Hell froze over today.
And I made good on several debts I never thought I'd have to pay. They served something tasty and nutritious in a high school cafeteria.
Someone proved conclusively the single bullet theory.
Yeah.
Someone proved conclusively the single bullet theory.